So we open our Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. Whenever I'm sharing the word with you, I don't know if you realize it or not, but I'm always preaching to myself. You are the good excuse for me to dig into it and find out what God ought to be having me do. And you are my constant motivation. And if, as I am preaching, you get the idea that I'm preaching at you, you're only part right. You know, that's, I do want to fulfill Scripture, exhort one another, and the purpose of the Scripture is exhortation, but first and foremost, I recognize my own need in each and every one of these areas in which we speak. I think tonight more than any, the portion of Scripture that we'll be dealing with tonight, I trust that God will use it to be a means of speaking to your heart. But at the same time, I recognize that first and foremost, I'm speaking to myself. And I appreciate your prayers for me constantly in the preparation of the Word, and would appreciate also your prayers in regard to the subject of our message tonight. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verses 1 through 9. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Father, we thank you tonight for your word, and we confess that we need to have the Spirit of God at this time open up and apply the message of the Word of God to our hearts, that we might be obedient hearers, not forgetful hearers, but obedient hearers of the exhortations of Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On June 28th, a 100-foot section of a bridge of the Connecticut Turnpike broke loose and fell into the Mianus River below. As a result, two trucks and two cars plunged also down into the river. One car was able to stop in time. He saw what had happened. He got out of his car and began waving and shouting at an approaching vehicle, seeking to warn them of the danger that lay directly ahead. But it was to no avail. Ignoring the frantic waving of the hands and shouting of that stopped motorist, the other driver plunged to his death in the river below. Undoubtedly, he did not understand the warning and ignored it rather than stop and find out what it was all about. That decision was fatal. The watchman had been faithful, but he chose to ignore the warnings. Now, here in this portion of Scripture, God tells Ezekiel that he had made him a watchman to the house of Israel, that he might warn them of coming judgment. And this is a picture of how God appoints Christians as watchmen to warn the lost. In this portion of Scripture, I'd like to have us notice four things regarding the task that God has given to us as watchmen of souls. First of all, we notice here the watchman's responsibility. Now, the watchman's responsibility here is very clearly to warn. God gives a living illustration. He tells Ezekiel, I want to illustrate this for you. Something that Ezekiel was undoubtedly very familiar with. They had cities with walls around about them, and on top of those walls would walk the watchmen, and they were responsible for warning the people of any danger to that city. And God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, supposing we have here a city, and the people of the city put a watchman on the wall, and they tell this watchman, you let us know if there's any danger coming. And if that watchman, through carelessness, does not let them know of danger that comes, then their blood is on his hands. His job is to warn them of impending danger. God gave Ezekiel a real-life situation so he would have no doubt understanding exactly what God was saying. The watchman on the wall is to be alert. He is to see the danger. He is to be faithful in warning of that danger. God here wants us to see the importance of the responsibility that he has given to us and to Ezekiel as a watchman of souls. And God says very specifically to Ezekiel then, Son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth. And so the watchman's responsibility is to warn. But in order to do that, first of all, he must hear the word at the mouth of the Lord. In other words, we warn according to what the Lord tells us. We hear his word at his mouth. And so if we are to faithfully warn souls, we have to be attentive to the word of God. It's so important as Christians that we be in the Scriptures day after day after day, that we might be hearing the word of God, faithfully meditating on Scripture. Peter says, be ready always to give an answer to those who ask you a reason of the hope that is in you. And if we are to be ready always to give an answer, then we have to be in the Word, in the Scriptures. God says, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth. And so the more we know Scripture, the better prepared we will be to give an answer. We have to hear the word at his mouth. In other words, there's fellowship involved here also. At the mouth of the Lord, a fellowship, not merely a knowledge. It's possible to have just a cold, dead, dry knowledge of Scripture. But we are to hear the word at his mouth. The word of God, go into his presence and hear him speak to us through his word to fill our hearts with joy and blessing, that we might then go out and share that message to others, overflow to others. And so, to be a watchman of souls, we must hear the word at his mouth. And then God says, and you shall warn them from me. We are to hear the word at his mouth, and we are to warn them from him. Paul says we are ambassadors for Christ. As if God did beseech you by means of us, be ye reconciled to God. God says, you warn them as from me. It isn't our warning. We aren't warning them of anything that we might do. We're warning them as to what God says is going to happen. Now, why are we unfaithful in warning people? Sometimes we say, well, I don't know what I would say. But that's failure to get into the Word and to know what to say and to have an answer. And so there's no excuse for that. Some would say, well, sometimes we would say, well, I didn't have an opportunity. That might occasionally be true. But generally speaking, we have much more opportunity than we are willing to admit. Many times the opportunity is there, and we must confess that we did not take that opportunity. That we have many, many more opportunities than we are willing to admit. The greatest reason, I believe, why we do not warn the wicked to turn from his wicked way is because we do not really believe there is danger. We don't really believe the danger. Or we would be out of our cars and on that bridge and waving our hands and shouting, stop! Stop! The bridge is out. But we don't really believe. But God here says to Ezekiel, I want you to warn them from me. And when I say to the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn them, God says, I am telling you, that wicked man shall surely die. And yet we say, well, is it really that serious? God says, the wages of sin is death. And so the peril is real. The bridge is out. And we must warn them lest they plunge into eternity. And so God says to Ezekiel that he says to the wicked man, thou shalt surely die, and you are to warn him. And so the watchman, first of all, has the responsibility that he is to warn. Secondly, the watchman's accountability is that he will be judged. God said to Ezekiel, if I say, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. And Ezekiel, if you do not speak to warn that wicked man from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. If, on the other hand, you warn him and he listens, then he shall deliver his soul. If you warn him and he doesn't respond, his blood is upon his own head, but you have delivered your soul. And so, Ezekiel, you need to warn them. You are responsible to warn them, and you are accountable to warn them because you will be judged. His blood will I require at your hand. Now, the watchman on the wall that fails to warn the city might not have done it intentionally. It isn't that he saw the enemy coming and decided, no, I'm not going to warn them, I'll just let them die. More than likely, the watchman on the wall became interested in other things. Maybe it was lunchtime, and down below a vendor came walking by. He decided it was time to buy a sandwich for lunch. And instead of just quickly buying the sandwich and turning around and continuing to watch the countryside, he decided to haggle over the price of the sandwich. And he spent a good while there trying to get the price of that sandwich down from 75 cents to 73 cents. And while he was haggling over the price of the sandwich, in the distance came the dust of the horses, and before he knew it, the enemy was upon the city. And so he didn't intentionally turn the city over to destruction. He just became distracted. Maybe the watchman on the wall was bored watching the countryside and decided there were more interesting things to do, and he began watching the girls walk down the streets of the city. In the meantime, the enemy came and he didn't see them, and he failed to warn them. A railway employee one time was responsible for the switching of the tracks at a certain intersection, and because of certain distractions, he failed one day to switch those tracks. As a result, A speeding passenger train came barreling through that crossing. But rather than switching over to its normal track onto the next city, it plowed into the back end of a lumbering freight train. Many were killed. The employee was held accountable for the death of those people. And it's so easy for us to become careless or to become involved in the cares of this world and fail to be a faithful watchman of the souls of men. And I'm sure you have, as well as I, become discouraged with yourself as you've failed on occasion to warn the wicked that they shall surely die. And on one occasion I received a bill, and it was just a few cents off, and really nothing worth even considering. But I got all excited about making sure that bill was right and that those few cents were corrected. And you know, afterwards God said to me, he said, "Did you have an opportunity?" Well, yes, I talked with the man. He says, "Did you have time?" Sometimes we say, "Well, there really wasn't time." I talked with him quite a while, trying to get that bill straightened out. God says, "You had opportunity and you had time. Why didn't you warn him?" Well, I was trying to get that bill straightened out for a few cents. And God said, "You let him go to hell for a few cents? Why didn't you warn him? You had opportunity. You had time." There's a verse in Proverbs chapter 24 and verses 11 and 12. "If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, Behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works?" God said to Ezekiel, and says to us, "Son of man, you are responsible to warn them, and you are accountable before me to do that." Thirdly, I'd like to have us look at the watchman's excuses. I don't have a verse for this one because God doesn't give him any excuses here. I had to put this one in myself, and that's what we have to do. You know, when we try to make excuse on this, we just have to add the excuses ourselves because they aren't there. God doesn't give them to us. There's no scripture verse. But you know, we tend to allow our hearts to lie to us. And we console ourselves with the thought that all will be okay even if I don't obey. And that's a lie. We tend to console ourselves that the person won't really be lost. And you know, that's the enemy of souls. The same one that said to Eve in the garden, "Thou shalt not surely die," also says to us, you know, "He shall not surely die." But what does God say? God says in verse 8, "That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand." And then comes that other little lie that I've heard some Bible teachers gave me this one. I liked this one for a long time. This was a good one. "If you miss your opportunity, God will raise up somebody else to do your job and you'll lose your reward." And that's a lie. God says he shall die in his iniquity. God didn't say to Ezekiel, "Now Ezekiel, you be sure and warn them. Now if you miss, I'll have to get somebody else to do your job, and you lose the gems out of your crown. You'll have one less jewel in your crown, and somebody else is going to have one more. That's not what God said. God says, Ezekiel, he'll die in his iniquity, and his blood will I require at thy hand. You say, now, wait a minute. Doesn't the Scripture say, Christ says, I will build my church? Doesn't Jesus say, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me? That's right. I believe it. Scripture truth of divine election. Not one that thou hast given me have I lost, said Jesus to the Father. God before the ages chose unto himself in Jesus Christ his people. You say, now then, if that's so, then they'll get there somehow. Now wait a minute. You see what you're doing? God has given us a promise. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And that's a glorious promise. And as we go out and share the Word of God and we see the hardness of men's hearts and we say, is it worthwhile? You know, why do I bother? Is anybody going to listen? Isaiah said, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? And God says, I have a promise for you. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. A glorious promise. But don't use the promise of God to excuse your disobedience. The promise of God is to encourage your obedience, to go and to tell them, because he says that they will come, that he by his Spirit will draw them, and although men are dead in trespasses and sins, and haters of God, yet he will draw them to himself as we present the gospel message. Glorious promise. Don't use that to excuse disobedience, because God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, you warn them at my mouth. And if you don't warn that man, he will die in his sin and his blood will be on your hands. You say that doesn't add up. God says that doesn't have to add up. I'm not telling you to add it up. I'm telling you to obey it. And so there's the promise. If you preach the word, God will call unto himself his own. There's the warning. If you don't preach the word, he'll die in his sin and his blood is on your hands. And don't use human logic to excuse, to minimize the power of the truth of the Word of God. God says, if you don't tell them, he'll die in his iniquity, and his blood will I require at your hands. The fourth thing we'd like to look at is the watchman's hope. We look at this kind of a verse and we say, who is sufficient for these things? And God gave Ezekiel hope. And I find hope in the very first words of God to Ezekiel in verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman. You know, if you had a city and you wanted that city protected, and you put out some job applications for watchmen, you'd screen those applications carefully, because you know the importance of having a faithful watchman. And just the fact that as that came back and you were accepted, there would be a certain degree of joy in your heart that you had been considered worthy, faithful, able for that great responsibility. And so we need to be careful about allowing Satan to cause us to doubt the fact that God will do through us that which he determines by choosing us. I have set thee a watchman. Have you ever asked yourself? You know, you see so many tremendously talented people out there amongst the unregenerate. So, you know, God, I just see all kinds of people that if I were you, I would have chosen, because they're real talent and ability and drive. And you just see all kinds of things out there. He said, great. And yet God chose You and me. And we need to remember that He chose you and me. And He didn't choose us necessarily because He didn't choose us at all because of any good in us. Nevertheless, in His infinite purposes, He chose us. And as Satan would say, you can't do it anyway, forget it, don't bother, give up now. You can come back and say with the watchman's hope, God chose me. And He intends to use me. And I'm not going to limit His power through me by doubting Him, by listening to the devil's doubts. You aren't any good. You can't do it. You don't have the talents and abilities anyway. God chose you. He can and He will use you. And that's the watchman's hope. God chose Moses, and Moses said, Lord, I can't speak. God says to Moses, who made man's mouth after all? Anyway, God made man's mouth. God chose Jeremiah, and Jeremiah said, I'm only a child. And God said, have not I chosen thee? What do you mean you are only a child? Have not I chosen thee? And this week, as you come up to that opportunity, and maybe you even see it coming, of an opportunity to share Christ, and Satan would say, you can't. Other people are more outgoing. They can, but you can't. Other people are more talented. They can, but you can't. You say, God said, have not I chosen thee? And do you know why He chose you? Because He wants to use you. You say, but I'm weak. That's what God chose. You have the exact qualification to be used of God. In that you're weak. If you thought you were strong, you just barge ahead and do it on your own. And we've got all kinds of people that are making their own converts. We don't need that. God chose you. And so we must not allow Satan to defeat us before we even get started. And as you see that opportunity coming, you know, well, I can't. Well, I know you can't. But God can. Remember, God chose you. Well, if you are the specially chosen instrument of God in His hand, what do you mean you can't? Of course you can't. But He can. He can. God says to Ezekiel, I have set thee a watchman. What an encouragement. What an encouragement. God will use you. And so believe Him and trust Him and do what He's telling you to do, and He will use you. The hope is that you're God's choice. And the second hope is God's provision. Jesus said to His disciples, you follow me and I will make you fishers of men. We see it there again. You spend time with Jesus. He says, I will make you fishers of men. And so He's the one who chose His disciples. And He said, I am the one who will make you fishers of men. And so, do I really believe what He's told me here? He's chosen me as a watchman. He's chosen you as a watchman. He will make you a fisher of men. That's what He's saying. Now, faith is visualizing what God wants to do and acting in accord with that. You know, faith isn't just a leap in the dark. Faith is visualizing what God wants to do and then making preparations to do that. Because that's what God's going to do. And so God says, I have made you a watchman, and I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Faith says, all right, now what do I have to do in preparation for what God's going to do? Faith is acting on what God says. Believing God. I read a tract this past week. I don't know if it's true or not. But the tract told about a man who put up a sign, a big sign, in a prominent place that said, "I will pay your bills. Come to such and such an address." I think it was Friday at 1 o'clock. "I will pay your bills." Friday at 1 o'clock. After thousands of people had seen that sign, gone by and read that sign, Friday at 4 o'clock, at 1 o'clock, there were four people there. The man explained to him why he was going to pay their bills, and he explained the gospel to them. And then he took their bills and he paid them. And the people there says, "How come there's so few people here? Doesn't anybody else have bills?" Sure, everybody else had bills. But they didn't believe. And so faith is preparing. And so by faith, we show faith in what God has said. "I have made you a watchman. I will make you a fisherman." We show faith, first of all, by praying. We ask God to do it. "You have not because you ask not." And the amazing thing to me is I can ask one day and then I can let a week go by and forget to ask again. And the day I ask, God does it. For a while I was taking a lot of plane trips, and before I get on the plane, "God, sit me next to the person that you want me to witness to." Amazing how God would do it. But the unbelievable thing is I could take three more flights and forget to ask Him. First you pray. You believe God has set you for a watchman, then you pray. You ask Him. Say, "God, today, lead me, seat me, put me where you want me, that I might be there as your watchman." You pray. Secondly is preparation. You get ready for what God's going to do. You have a Gospel of John handy. Now, don't go out of the house without a Gospel of John in your pocket or in your purse or someplace. Don't leave the house, or you're not acting in faith. God's made you a watchman. Do you believe that? Well, if you're a watchman, you better have the Word of God with you. Don't go out of the house without it. Put it someplace. Take it with you. In fact, if you see the situation coming up, have it handy. You know what handy means? Handy means having your hand. And I found I've got to do that too. Because as I see the situation coming up where I'm going to have an opportunity, but still in my pocket, it's amazing how I can get away without pulling it out of my pocket and giving it to him. Got to have it in my hand. Then it's embarrassing because he looks at it and wonders what I've got and why I've got it there. You know, you have to follow through. Have it. You've got to act in faith. Prayer, act in faith. Preparation, take it with you. Psalm 126:6. "He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him." But what about the farmer that takes his sack of seed over his shoulder, and he goes out and he walks through his field, and he comes back again, and his wife says, "What'd you do?" He says, "I went out and I walked through my field with the seed in my sack." Where's the seed now? Still in my sack. Big harvest, right? You have to sow the seed. So you have to have it with you. You have to have it handy. You have to give it to him. The precious seed that must be sown. And if you come back home and you still got the Gospel of John, to ask yourself, did I really not have an opportunity? Or did I miss it? And it's not just a matter of missing an opportunity. His soul I'll require at your hands. Thirdly, the promptings of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "I want you to go down to Gaza." And he went. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "I want you to join yourself to that man in his chariot." And Philip did. And he had the opportunity of sharing the Word of God. And so the Holy Spirit is faithful day after day in prompting us. If we'll only listen to Him. He's faithful in doing this. This past week, 2 weeks ago, I had to go to a certain place, and I parked in a parking lot. And as I came out afterwards, I looked for the attendant, and he wasn't around any place. Couldn't find him. So I left. Didn't pay. The following week, I had to go back to that same parking lot and park there again. And as I was getting ready to come back to the parking lot, God said to me, He said, "Now don't forget to pay him for both weeks." Okay, Lord. I got there and he wasn't there again. Now what do I do? So I stood around, waited, and finally said, "Well, I guess I have to go." All of a sudden he showed up. There he was. So he came, told me how much I owed him. I paid him that. And I paid him the extra for the week before. And I said, "Last week when I left, you weren't here. And so this is for the week before." He looked at me and he says, "You didn't have to do that." So I pull out my Gospel of John. He says, "You know, the President Reagan and the Congress have declared this to be the year of the Bible. Do you have a Bible? He says, I got a small Bible. I got a medium-sized Bible. I got a great big Bible. He says, I got lots of Bibles. I said, do you know the Lord? He said, I was saved in 1941. You know, we had the greatest time of fellowship. Then I gave him the gospel anyway, the gospel of John. You know, you give it to him. If you have time, tell him how to use it and how to pass it on and how to explain the gospel to somebody else. But, you know, we've got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because many times, just that little thing the Holy Spirit tells us to do will be what will open up an opportunity to share the gospel. And so we need to be alert to the Spirit of God. The sainted Baxter stated, one regret at the close of his life was stated in the following words, I remember no one sin that my conscience doth so much accuse and judge me for, as for doing so little for the saving of men's souls, and for not dealing with them more fervently and earnestly for their conversion. We are watchmen for God. We're responsible to warn them. We are accountable and will be judged. We have no excuse for not warning them, but we do have hope. God has called us, and in faith, acting in faith on that calling, we pray and ask God to do it. We prepare and get ready for Him to do it, and we take heed to the promptings of the Spirit of God and see Him do it. Father, we recognize the hiss of the serpent in the excuses that we allow ourselves to believe regarding our sacred duty of warning the wicked. We thank You that You've given us hope and that You have called us, that we are ambassadors for Christ. And as God would beseech through us, we warn men in His name to be reconciled to God. Grant, we pray, that this week, with the firm assurance that You have called us, that we might pray diligently, that we might prepare faithfully, and that we might listen to the voice of the Spirit of God carefully, and see You do that which You have called us to do. Be a watchman of the souls of men. In Jesus' name, amen. So we sing in closing hymn number 426. Number 426, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. 426, shall we stand as we sing?
is merciful, Jesus will save.
So we pray. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church through Christ Jesus, world without end. Amen.